T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, before we bring on Cameron Wolf here, I have got to ask you, Solana, what on earth possessed you to pull out Eddie Murphy and Michael Jackson, What's Up With You, which I'm the only person on the planet that would know that that's this song?
I mean, this is a banger, is it not?
I believe it's a banger, but I'm the only person on the planet that thought this was a banger.
It just felt like today was a good day to play What's
Up
With
You. But no one knows this song. Crank it out for a second. It's literally, it is Eddie Murphy and Michael Jackson, back when they used to be called duets.
Hey, Hawk, what's the name of the song again?
What's Up With You. One word. It's one word. What's Up With You, with a Z. With a Z.
That's my pleasure to hear you say it. I don't give a damn what the song sounds like.
What's Up With You. It was on an Eddie Murphy album. This is when he was, becoming a music star, because he had Party All The Time was a big hit. Yeah. And he did this song with Michael Jackson. I remember the video. The video was nutty, man.
I'm still a fan of Boogie in the Butt. That's my Eddie Murphy song. That's number
Crank
one in my book.
Crank it up, Solana. That's Eddie. That's Michael. That's Eddie. That's Michael. Crazy. No one knows this song. All right.
Nope.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins and the NFL for ESPN. And there's some Dolphins news today with Albert Wilson opting out. So let's bring on Cameron here. Hello, Cameron.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Right.
I think you broke up there, Hawk, for a second.
Oh, no chance you've heard that Michael Jackson, Eddie Murphy song, is there?
Oh, not a chance. Not a chance.
Yeah. I didn't think so. Wait till you see the video. I'm going to text you the video. Video is trippy, man. Wait till you see this. All right, anyway. So Albert Wilson opts out today. So that's the second wide receiver. You had Allen Hurns opt out yesterday. Albert Wilson opt out today. And there may be more to come, correct, Cameron? I mean, we don't know because they have till tomorrow, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know I've talked to a couple players around the league, like high-profile players who are considering it. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple high-profile names, not necessarily with the Dolphins, but across the league that drop tomorrow. You know, guys have been definitely considering this, and obviously more Dolphins could be on the list as well. So deadline's 4 p.m. tomorrow, and, some guys may take it down to the buzzer.
And Cam, can you explain this to me? Because I think I understand that they're giving them a loan advance. The 350 if you're high risk, the one, everybody gets the 150. So that's an advance on your contract. The thing I don't understand is if you're under a 4 or 5 year deal, is now your 4 year deal a 5 year deal and your 5 year deal a 6 year deal? Like, what happens to the 2020 season under your contract if you do opt out?
Now, that's a good question. So what happens is your current year, your 2020 year, tolls to 2021. So, for example, if you've got a one-year $4 million deal this year, then next year your contract will be 1 year $4 million. And whatever guarantees you have are stay the same. So it's essentially like you push this year to next year. And if you have another year after that, it's pushed to next year. So it's like pushing everything back 1 year and everything stays the same, including the cap hit. Like, teams won't have the cap hit on their salary cap this year if a team, a player opts out, but they'll have it next year. So everything's pushed back.
All right, so let me start here with you then. Cameron Wolf is with us from ESPN, and I've asked this of Crowder last couple of days. How's a team like the Dolphins going to fare at the beginning of the season, say? Because there's a lot of rookies and free agents. You've got new coordinators. You've got a head coach that's only in his second year, and no preseason games at all. And now a couple of the veteran presences, right? Alan Hearns and Albert Wilson are opting out. Is this too tough a task for anything really good to happen?
I think it is a tough ask. I mean, I had thought about this, you know, started the season. It was already going to be tough. They've got two new coordinators in Chan Gailey and Josh Boyer. They've got, you know, more than half of their roster weren't on the roster last year, including, you know, probably, you know, 12 to 15 rookies. So you're looking at a team that hasn't really played each other, that doesn't really know the scheme, and you're asking them without any preseason games to be, you know, ready to win games week one. I think that's a tough ask. You know, I'm not saying they can't do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they really struggle out of the gate in September and October, just because there's a lot more teams that are more advanced and have a higher level of continuity than they have at this point.
And Cam, do they need to get veteran? I had a rant earlier about veteran presence where, like, I had Zach Thomas, Cam, where Zach was a great vet. He took me under his wing. Like, he taught me everything everything he knew about football, he taught me. But I think there's more Ben Roethlisberger's when he said, my job isn't to develop Mason Rudolph, than the Zach Thomas's. Like, do you take that veteran presence? Do you put it on a pedestal like a lot of people do?
I think it's important. Shannon, that you know, playing in the league, every guy's got different mentality. There are some guys who are me guys, and that's fine. If you're a me guy, that's your lane. But then there's also guys who are, you know, they're really those team guys that you preach. So you got a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who clearly seems to be a we guy, you know, from the way we heard him talk about Tua this week and that sort of guy. You need enough of those guys. Every guy on the team doesn't have to be that. But I think you need enough of those and probably at least one in every position room to make things work and make things grow. So, yeah, I definitely think that when you look around a team, there's probably a lot of we guys, but is there one in every position group? I would have to look and figure that out. But I think that's definitely important when you get into a season like this where you're not going to be able to be as close with everybody as you want. So when things get sticky, you're going to need to have somebody to try to keep you together.
And speak on that same mind frame, Cam. Like, Hearns is leaving, Wilson is leaving. They're two veterans in the league. Does this receiving core need a vet? Devontae's 6 years in, bro. Like, is he the vet, or do they need to bring in a vet? Because Hawk asked me about Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, Ocho Cinco. He even asked me about Terrell Owens. Yeah. Like, I don't know if those are the guys, but does this receiver group, do they need a vet to come in now that these guys opted out?
I think they do. Alan Hearns and Albert Wilson were the two most experienced receivers on the team. And you mentioned Devontae Parker. You know, he's now the elder in that room. But you guys have met Devontae. I've met Devontae. You know, he's not going to be a super vocal guy on the roster. That's just not what his MO is. He's a really good player. I don't know if he's going to be a vocal leader. So, yeah, I think you might need to bring in somebody who can be that glue guy, be the guy who can speak up when the effort's not good in practice from the receiver group. I just don't know if that's going to happen for anybody in that roster. So I do think they'll look in for agency. I don't think it'll be one of the guys you mentioned. I think it'll be more of a low-key guy. But, you know, whether it's, you know, a Chris Hogan-type player, like a Paul Richardson, some of those guys who've been around the league and multiple teams, you know, and have done it, you know, guy who's not going to impress you with his speed or his, you know, his physicality. But if those are the type of guys that people understate their role on the roster. And I'd imagine the Dolphins go out and try to seek one of those guys in the next week or two.
Cameron Wolf, he covers the Dolphins for ESPN. I'm interested in this. I read what you wrote today about, you know, the protections, I guess, the safety protocols that the Dolphins have implemented to keep players and staff safe. And obviously we all saw down here what happened with the Marlins. So what are typical days like for Dolphins players, Dolphins coaches? And I know you can't be around them anymore. So I wonder, and I don't know if you've asked this of anybody, I wonder, like, Are they talking in the locker room? You think they're talking mostly about COVID and coronavirus, or are they talking about football like a traditional camp? Like, so can you explain a little bit about what the protocols are safety-wise?
Yeah. I think, and that's a good question. I've talked to a couple of players and coaches about this. I think it's twofold. One is the big elephant over the room. Like, everybody is knowing COVID's going around. It's sort of awkward, you know. It's sort of when you see somebody, you're not sure if you're going to give them a high five or if you're going to, you know, do whatever. It's that awkward period. But I do think that there's a lot of preaching that's going on from the top, whether it's Brian Flores or whether it's their particular position group lead, about, hey, let's make sure we're separate. Let's make sure we're doing that while still trying to get football going on. So I think once you get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, having a couple weeks into camp, people will be more comfortable. But from players I've talked to, there's still a lot of talk about COVID. There's still a lot of talk about, you know, whether it's joking or not, about, hey, you know, you're a little too close here. You know, hey, don't give me a high five. Like, that sort of, you know, conversation becomes a little bit more happenstance in a way that it wouldn't be before. So, there's still a lot of football conversation. They're having a lot of meetings. They're doing X and O's. They're doing walkthroughs. So it's not all COVID, but I think there's a lot more conversation about it than it was, you know, back in May when they were doing the virtual meetings.
And Cam, the NFL's been gung-ho. 16 games. Well, okay, we'll take out the preseason, guys. Congratulations. But we're going into the season. Right. We're playing 16. We're going to have a playoff. We're going to have a Super Bowl. They're very gung-ho. Are you as gung-ho about the NFL season as Roger Goodell seems to be?
No, I'm not. And this doesn't mean that I'm rooting against football, like I've seen some people on Twitter say it. You know, I would love football to finish the season and everything to go great. I'm not super optimistic that it's going to work that way. I think they'll start the season. I think they're going to press through. But I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. We've seen what's happened with baseball. You know, when you're not in the bubble, there's just so much that's out of your hands. All it takes is one guy to go, you know, go pick up some wings at the spot like Lou Will did. You can get the virus. You can get the virus spread to everyone, you know. So I saw a story just a little bit ago, Louisville had 29 cases of coronavirus because they had an off-campus party. You know, you can't tell me at some point, you know, and there's not going to be a player who wants to go to a bar or wants to go to a party, you know, after a game or in the middle of the week to relax. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to multiple teams. So is how do we contain that? And what's the magic number? When does it become too much where the NFL finally says we have to shut it down? So that's sort of my view on it. I just think that there's so much that you can't control that makes this thing hard to see it through the end.
And I got to ask you, Cam, I need a follow-up. Man, the Lou Will situation, the man leaves the bubble to go to a funeral. On the way back from the funeral, he wanted some wings. He slid through Magic City. Yeah. They have amazing wings, and now they're calling him selfish. He's ruining it. What's your take on the Lou Will situation, bro? I've been to Magic City. I love the views, and I love the food.
To be fair to Lou Will, I haven't been to Magic City, but to be fair to Lou Will, the food at those establishments are good quite a bit of time. So I do believe that he was going there for some wings. I know people say, I think he was going there for the wings. The wings are in his name. They're called the Lou Will Lemon Pepper Wings. If I had some wings in my name, I probably would do everything I could to go to that spot to get them. So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think he was, you know, obviously, you know, maybe it wasn't in the precautions. Maybe he could have been a little bit more careful. But I just think my man was trying to go get some good grub. So I think they should lay off Lou Will a little bit. You know, he had to pay the punishment. He got lost two game checks because of it. He wasn't trying to do anything outlandish. He was trying to get some good wings.
Fellas, we really doing this with a straight face?
Yeah, we're doing it. Man, Lou Will live, baby.
The dude is in quarantine. There's a pandemic. You're telling me the wings are so good that you can't not stop at the shake spot to get the wings while you're in quarantine?
Hawk, I call it a restaurant plus sexy. You call it a shake spot. Like, we're putting these in different categories.
Right. We've all had takeout during the pandemic. Sometimes you got to wait around a little bit for your takeout. You know, sometimes there's music playing. Sometimes there's dancing. You know, it's just different. It's just whatever the activities are going on while you're waiting for your food.
I mean, can you use Grubhub or Postmates at Magic City? I'm just curious. I'm being serious. Is the food good enough that you would go on Postmates and order in from Magic City?
You know what? It's going to be cold as hell because that driver is going to sit down for about 45 minutes to enjoy the views. You're going to have some cold-ass lemon pepper wings.
I didn't order ranch sauce. What? All right, that's terrible. Ridiculous end to the conversation here. Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins for ESPN. Thank you for making time for us, Cam.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. I was just playing devil's advocate. I mean, honestly, because I always come back whenever I have my lunches at the Cheetah. I always come back and tell you how great the food is. The real good establishments take very good care of their food because that is how customers keep coming back.
Yeah, and the steaks, the Cheetah steaks. Come on, bro. Yes, I would. Their Cheetah steaks are better than 90% of restaurant steaks. Yep. Hawk, this is what I'm trying to explain to the layman, that don't just question the strip club food because it's a strip club now. Let's call it a restaurant plus.
No, and I would say back in the day, strip clubs didn't care too much about food. Back in the day, because they'd tell you, oh, yeah, we've got a food menu, and it was, you know, Totino's pizza rolls. Not that there's anything wrong with Totino's pizza rolls. But, no, they really have stepped up their food game. But I like playing devil's advocate, bro, as you guys seriously decide that he was there for the food.
When I first started going to strip clubs, all the strip clubs had like food trucks, and they had to go like get the food outside to bring it to you, or you had to go outside and bring it back in. But now, man, come on, man. I'm telling you, Magic City, if me and my wife go to Atlanta, we'll go to Magic City and eat before we go to real, like, Emeril Lagasse's restaurant is about 2 miles away from Magic City. I would go to Magic City before I go to Emeril Lagasse's restaurant. I swear to goodness, Hawk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.